Here is what God's Word is saying. If we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, we will fail in the grace of God. That means grace will be cut off from our life. My friend, grace is the divine favor that gives us strength and guidance to live as Christ would have us to live in this world. We cannot make it without grace. Like a faucet, God will turn off this life-giving flow if we choose to have an unforgiving spirit towards anyone. When the grace of God is cut off, the root of bitterness will begin to spring up. You see, bitterness will be the natural result of unforgiveness gone unchecked in our lives. There is an old saying that goes something like this: to err is human, to forgive is divine. You know, there is a certain amount of truth to that saying. It is certainly human to err, to make mistakes, to offend people, or to let them down. And the other part, that part about forgiving being divine, it has some truth to it also. For you see, to honestly and unselfishly forgive people, especially if they are not remorseful or if they are undeserving of our forgiveness, will require divine assistance. Forgiving those who have wronged you will not make you divine, but it is accomplished in the purest sense of the word when God is at work in our lives. And that truth has been one of the foundational points in this study on forgiveness. Let me repeat the principle one more time. God forgives us because of what Jesus has done for us. We are commanded to forgive others because of what Jesus is doing in us. In our last two programs, I began a list of 7 reasons why it is necessary for Christians to forgive. Reason number 1, we are like Christ when we forgive. We are following His example for our lives. Reason number 2, we will not experience daily forgiveness unless we are willing to forgive others. Reason number 3, forgiveness is necessary if we want our prayers answered by God. We find this truth in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Reason number 4, forgiveness is disobedience, and it is contradictory to the leadership of God's Holy Spirit. A person with unforgiveness in their hearts is not led by the Spirit. And reason number 5, forgiveness is necessary if we desire to go on with Christ. In other words, unforgiveness will stop us dead in our tracks and stunt our spiritual growth. Let's turn our attention now to the last 2 reasons why forgiveness is absolutely necessary for the child of God. Reason number 6, unforgiveness will breed bitterness, which in turn will destroy our lives emotionally, spiritually, and physically. For scripture that supports what I have just said, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Listen to these words. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Let's look closer at verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The Father is saying that as Christians, we should follow the example of Jesus and take the initiative when it comes to making peace with others. Jesus was a peacemaker. We should be also. This matter of making peace, which involves seeking forgiveness when we have offended others and forgiving those who have offended us, is a vital part of living a holy life. Is holiness important? You bet it is. Scripture here says that we cannot see God without holiness in our lives. But inextricably tied with verse 14 is verse 15. Listen again to what it says. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So how do these two verses fit together? Verse 14 challenges us to pursue peace with all men. This involves forgiveness. Verse 15 warns us of missing or failing in the grace of God. The result of failing in God's grace is that a root of bitterness will spring up, causing trouble and defiling many. Here is what God's Word is saying. If we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, we will fail in the grace of God. That means grace will be cut off from our life. My friend, grace is the divine favor that gives us strength and guidance to live as Christ would have us live in this world. We cannot make it without grace. Like a faucet, God will turn off this life-giving flow if we choose to have an unforgiving spirit towards anyone. When the grace of God is cut off, the root of bitterness will begin to spring up. You see, bitterness will be the natural result of unforgiveness gone unchecked in our lives. Satan will cultivate and nurture those offenses and hurt feelings until they grow up into full-grown bitterness in our lives. The only thing that will keep bitterness from taking over is the grace of God. Then, when bitterness takes over, it causes trouble in our lives and defiles many others. How does that happen? When we become bitter towards someone we have chosen not to forgive, the natural thing to do is to share our offense and hurt with others. They often choose to take up our offense, and now they are offended at someone who did nothing to them. Once again, Scripture is proven to be accurate. The unforgiveness of one has ultimately defiled many others. My friend, it's just another reason why forgiveness is necessary for the child of God. Reason number 7. We must forgive because unforgiveness will put us in bondage. We find this truth presented by Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." My friend, I know of no other passage that so clearly illustrates how God has forgiven us and how we should be willing to forgive others. The first debtor in the story owed the equivalent of millions of dollars. He was forgiven his debt by his master. That is a picture of how God has forgiven us of a debt that we could never pay in a lifetime. The same man that had experienced grace and forgiveness goes out and finds a man who owes him the equivalent of a working man's wages for a day. He is unwilling to forgive that man's debt, even though it was nothing compared to the debt that had been forgiven of him. You and I wonder how anyone could be so heartless, cruel, and unforgiving. Yet isn't that exactly what we do when we are unforgiving towards others? Of course it is. But what I want you to especially notice in this passage is the master's response to the unforgiving servant. Because of his unwillingness to forgive, he was cast into prison. Listen to Jesus' closing words. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." My friend, there is no question about it. Unforgiveness hurts the one who harbors it far more than it hurts the one who is guilty of the offense. You may think you are getting back at the person who hurt you by not forgiving them, but according to Scripture, you are the one in bondage. Is there a person in your life that is in need of your mercy and forgiveness? If so, what do you plan to do about it? You may be waiting for them to ask for your forgiveness, but God has told you to take the initiative in the matter of pursuing peace with all men. Will you do that today? Remember, it's not just that they need your forgiveness. You need to exercise forgiveness for your own well-being and walk with Christ. It will benefit and prosper your life as much as theirs. I leave you with these words found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.